We present Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud, and Geraldine Jones in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, we are delighted to welcome back Geraldine Jones to our program, looking extraordinarily pretty, I must tell the listeners. I'm going to ask all four of them to try and speak for just a minute on some unlikely subject without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject in any way at all. If one of their opponents thinks they're guilty, they may challenge them, and if I uphold their challenge, they gain a point, and if I don't, the point will go to every speaking. Kenneth Williams, will you begin? The subject is Constantinople. Can you talk about that for 60 seconds, starting now?
Oh, the glorious natural sight as the ship comes into the harbour. Oh, the minarets and the turrets and the great dome of St. Sophia. Oh, the joy that I...
nothing. Kevin, you've challenged.
Is it?
Yes, there was hesitation, but something put you off, Kenneth.
Yeah, I said out twice, I suddenly realised.
Yeah. Oh, I see. I thought you were playing. Right, so, Clement, there was hesitation, you get a point, and there are 37 seconds for Constantinople, starting now.
If you go to the city of Istanbul, many people will remember when that same place was called Constantinople, and there are those who have lived in one town and moved to the other without ever leaving their own house. This is a...
Geraldine Jones, why do you judge?
Hesitation.
Yes, there was. He was so overcome with his cleverness.
No, wasn't he?
Oh, isn't that brilliant, they thought to themselves.
Oh, I thought he was a groan of boredom.
No, it wasn't. They were deeply impressed with you. They've all become your fans, Clement. So there are 21 seconds left, because Geraldine now gets a point and takes over the subject, Constantinople, starting now.
My first acquaintance with this word was, like many others, as a small child, when some fool came up to me and said, Constantinople's a very hard word, spell it. And of course I, being an extremely precocious child, had absolutely no difficulty at all.
Clement Freud, why do you chant?
Repetition of child.
Yes, alas, you did bring your childhood in more than once. So, Clement, you get another point and 9 seconds for Constantinople, starting now.
In this gay city of wide streets.
Derek Nimmo, why do you chant?
Repetition of city.
Yes, because he talked about the city of Constantinople and Istanbul. So, Derek, you gain another point, and there are 7 seconds left for Constantinople, starting...
I went to this jeweller's shop, and he produced a very nice blue-green...
Kenneth Williams, why have you challenged?
A jeweller's shop has nothing to do with Constantinople.
Can I justify?
But it might well be in Constantinople. You must give him a chance to finish his sentence, Kenneth. So all that happens is that Derek gets a point...
Well, I'd like to hear this justification.
Well, all right. Quickly, Derek.
Why, do I do it within my time?
Or... No, you just say, well, finish your sentence.
Well, I went to the jeweller shop and I produced a lovely bluey-green stone. Well, I mean, I said, I can't stand the nail, but I'd much rather have her.
Satisfy, Kenneth.
Yes, good.
Yeah. I'd have got to the end of my 9 seconds.
Well, I think the only fair thing to suggest, I thought it was going to be half a sentence, but you would have taken 5 seconds at least to say that, so I decide this point.
Yeah, yeah, well done. Yeah.
Derek Nimmo, will you begin the next round with the subject of tall stories? 60 seconds starting now.
A tall story is one which is supposed to be true, but is probably apocryphal.
Geraldine Jones, you've challenged. Why?
Deviation. I don't believe there's a word of... Well, what he said. He meant to say apocryphal. But
and what did he say?
Apocryphal.
Didn't I really?
Yes, yes. Oh, that's very sharp of you.
Yes, yes. Geraldine, you gain a point, because I agree with your challenge. There are 55 seconds left for tall stories, starting now.
The best tall stories are, of course, those that you don't realise are tall.
Derek Nimmo, you've challenged.
Hesitation,
I quite agree. Derek, you've got straight back, you get a point. You have 50 seconds for tall stories, starting now.
A yarn that was told to me, which is supposed to be true, is of a nun, a Sister of Mercy, riding in a jeep in the Libyan desert when she ran out of petrol. She walked to a nearby oasis.
Clement Foy, why have you challenged?
Deviation. It wasn't the nun who ran out of petrol, it was the jeep.
Clement Freud, you take a point for that, and there are 40 seconds left for tall stories, starting now.
Hans Andersen wrote one which was placed in a balloon, and as it passed a garden populated by children, one said, "Oh, look, it is 3 feet up," and the other said, "More like 6 inches." 7 meters, replied another. No, 8 miles.
Geraldine Jones, why have you challenged?
Well, this may be one tall story, but it's not really about tall stories in general.
Hans Andersen wrote tall stories
in
general.
Yes, but you dwelt on one tall story for quite a considerable time.
They were all at different heights.
Oh, they were all different heights. Very clever, Clement Freud. I'm sorry, you've made your point. I quite agree. You take a point. And there are 24 seconds left for tall stories, starting now.
Furlong up was yet another.
Derek Nimmer, why do you chant?
Repetition of measurements.
That is a clever idea, and I've not allowed it before, because you can have a repetition of ifs, a repetition of ands, a repetition of any quantities of things. So all I will say is that I'm not going to give any points for that, and say there are 21 seconds for tall stories, Clement, starting now.
Was another volume of stories, tall and beautiful, amongst which The Princess and the Monk was perhaps the most beautiful. These two...
Derek Nimmer, why would you...
Repetition of beautiful.
Yes, indeed, that's right. Derek, you take over the subject and gaining another point, of course. 10 seconds left. Tall stories starting now.
So she obtained a gallon of gasoline, but the only thing she could carry back in was a child's potty. But when she got back, she was just pouring into the tank of the aforesaid car. A great big Cadillac stopped nearby.
Clement Freud, why have you chucked?
Hesitation?
Well, yes, he was trying to get the story out.
In 10 seconds.
It was really intense. It's so sad, but I'm afraid, according to the rules of the game, I have to award you a point, Clement, and say there are 2 seconds left for tall stories, starting now.
This caterpillar was huge.
As Clement was speaking, when the whistle went, then he gains yet another point and takes him a little further into the lead. Clement, will you begin the next round for us? Plastic gnomes. Can you talk about that for just a minute, starting now?
The two that I most like is a Bakelite model.
Geraldine, why have you challenged?
You can't have the two is.
You're picking him up on a grammatical error.
A grammatical deviation, yes.
I quite agree. You have a point, and you have 55 seconds for plastic gnomes, starting now.
I have a very good friend who bought several plastic gnomes because he lived in a block of flats where everyone took great pride in their gardens, and he felt that this really was a lot of ostentation.
Derek, why have you challenged?
I thought you said deviation, because if they were living in a block of flats, they couldn't have gardens.
Yes, you do have gardens in some blocks of flats. They
landscapes,
it must be very uncomfortable, mustn't it, to have a garden?
Very uncomfortable, but there is a garden...
Can you imagine that...
Don't argue with the chairman, Jerry. That's very naughty.
There are taboos. I know you never do it, do you, Ken?
No, I don't. Thank you, Nicholas.
Geraldine has another point, Jerry. And there are 45 seconds left for plastic gnomes, starting now.
Instead of flowers, he filled the garden with these quite hideous creatures with red caps and green jackets and blue trousers. And all his neighbours were absolutely furious because they felt it lowered the tone of what was otherwise a very nice bourgeois.
Derek, no, why have you chanced?
Snobbery.
You can be as snobbish as you like as long as you keep playing the game correctly. Geraldine, you have another point. 34 seconds for plastic gnomes, starting now.
I was very interested to find the plastic gnomes took on a particular character because they were living in this rather discriminatory...
Clement Freud, why you challenge?
A plural of gnomes and a singular of character. It's a deviant.
Oh, yes,
He's been absolutely nuts ever since he was had on two ways. He's been waiting for one challenge only to get back on a singular plural. What was it, a character, R? What was it again?
I've forgotten, but the audience, the audience applauded.
If you've forgotten, if you've forgotten, Geraldine has another point.
Oh, no,
and there
no,
are...
No, I
because I disagree.
Oh, you see, they don't like you now.
What was your challenge, Clement?
A grammatical...
grammatical deviation.
I know it was grammatical deviation, but what was it?
You should have listened.
Clement Freud, you have a point, and there are 28 seconds left for plastic gnomes, starting now.
Rhododendrons are particularly good.
Kenneth Williams, why do you challenge?
Rhododendrons are nothing to do with plastic gnomes. Deviation.
He's probably going to say, justify in a second, Clement.
A particularly good flowers amongst which to place plastic gnomes. Much more suitable than daisies or watercress.
No points given. 19 seconds left for plastic gnomes. Clement Freud, starting now.
And mustard seed is ideal because a blue gnome in a yellow field of this...
Derek Nimmer, why do you challenge?
Hesitation,
Derek. 10 seconds left for plastic gnomes, starting now.
While we're all wandering around talking about it, it's quite obvious that Kenneth Williams is a plastic gnome. I've always thought...
Deviation. It is perfectly obvious to this audience tonight that I am not a plastic gnome.
Kenneth Williams,
Jordan. You have a point, Kenneth. 5 seconds left for plastic gnomes, starting now.
These are to be found in the Ideal Gnome Exhibition.
Simon Freud, you challenge them. Why? You did challenge. You thought he said something else, so he gets an extra point.
Didn't he?
So, Kenneth has a point. And there are 2 seconds left for Ideal Gnome. I'm sorry. 2 seconds left for plastic gnomes, starting now.
And jelly gnomes for sadists to eat.
Geraldine Jones, will you begin the next round? Industrial espionage. I don't know whether you know anything about it, but could you try and talk about it for 60 seconds, starting now?
It has always struck me that industrial espionage is the only branch...
Derek, why don't you...
Deviation. It can't always have struck her. Not when she was 3 months old.
How do you know that at 3 months old, the first thought that struck her, though she wasn't able to put it into words, it might emotionally have been industrial espionage? When we are 3 months old, our emotions are what govern us, not our intellects, and it might have been an emotional thought. 55 seconds left for Geraldine Jones to continue with industrial espionage. Starting now.
Industry as a whole is terribly dreary and dismal, and the only part of it that has any sort of drama at all is the spying part. Just imagine all those boring factories full of little men wearing dark glasses and astrakhan collar coats, rushing around frantically sniffing film in tiny, tiny little cameras.
Why have you challenged?
Tiny, tiny.
Oh, yes.
Well, it was lovely.
Yes, it was lovely, but it was tiny, tiny, yes. The idea of them sniffing the film, I wonder why they did that.
What's nipping?
Sniffing.
Oh, I did sniffing the film. Anyway, the tiny, tiny gives Clement Freud another point, and there are 37 seconds left for industrial espionage, starting now.
A man called Arthur Bartlett was probably the most famous industrial spy.
Kenneth Williams, why for chance?
Arthur Bartlett is not the most famous industrial spy. I've never heard such a load of rabbit.
I'm quite prepared to believe he wasn't. Can you prove in 2 seconds that he was?
He was.
Of course he wasn't. There are 34 seconds left for Kenneth Williams to continue with industrial espionage, starting now.
This is the process by which, in a manner which can only be called subterfuge, people do find out secret recipes and then convey this information to other people who might find it useful. One of the principal ingredients in lipstick is vegetable fat. And a friend of mine found in a cauldron of it a great rat. Oh, he said, little do they know when they rub that on their lips is a big rat been in the thing. Oh, I got it.
Never again.
It was lovely, wasn't it?
Well, you enjoyed it anyway. But you should keep going. Come on.
Oh, well, I saw their faces. You know what I mean?
I know.
Always like an inquisitor he is opposite.
They're all three like inquisitors when you're talking. Clement Freud actually challenged you. Clement.
Hesitation.
Clement, 4 seconds left for industrial espionage, starting now.
He snuck into this factory.
Derek Nimmer, why do you challenge?
Deviation. I don't like the sound. Snuck.
Nor do I. What does
the
it mean, Clement?
The hospital sneak.
Oh. No, that is snooped. I don't believe it is the passable of sneak, is it?
Old English Dictionary, yes.
It is. All right, then, Clement Freud. Ian Mester knows his English better than I do, so there are. That's bad grammar, too. There are 2 seconds left for Clement to continue with industrial espionage, starting now.
Put his piece of wire into the safe.
Well, Clement Freud's clever use of the English language gives him, in the space of 2 seconds, 2 points. He really has snucked himself up into a very definite lead at the end of that round. Derek Nimmo, will you begin the next round? My worst moment. 60 seconds, starting now.
This happened to me after recording of this programme a few weeks ago. I went into a nearby hostelry where the bearded fellow was sitting over there chatting to Kenneth Williams, and a man came over to the aforesaid Freud and said...
Clement Freud, why who challenged?
Deviation.
Why?
He hasn't aforesaid Freud.
Came over to...
He was talking about a bearded
fellow. Yes. But he didn't. He actually...
Aforesaid Freud,
yes,
implies that the word Freud has been previously mentioned.
He established that he was talking about you who were sitting there with a beard talking
case,
to Kenneth...
In that case, aforesaid person, but not aforesaid Freud.
No. You are Freud. Your name is Freud, isn't it? He established it was you.
I admit it.
Yes, right. Thank you very much. Derek Nimmo has a point. And there are 47 seconds left for my worst Freud. my worst moment starting now.
And a chap came over to this fellow and said, ha, ah, I bet you're surprised to see me here. And when the chap had gone, the chap...
Geraldine, you judge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, Geraldine. You take over my worst moment with 40 seconds left starting now.
My worst moment took place a very short while ago when I was playing this game and suddenly it seemed that every single person in this theatre was against me. I made a perfectly valid point and everyone agreed with these three men who outnumber me anyway. They have all the experience. They play week after week and I come here hot foot from my hard day at the office and try to play and what happens? They're all against me and I go on. I don't think that there should only be three things in this game to interrupt
my... Daniel, why have you chucked?
Well, repetition of three. Three men opposite me, 3 feet or... I mean, they came...
I think it is such a heart-rendering story, Derek, that I am not going to let you have that chance.
It's a very good decision.
I'm... I'm going to let Geraldine Jones continue. And say there are 9 seconds left, Geraldine, for my worst moment starting now.
There should be a fourth thing on which to break in on, and that should be discrimination, and then I'd win hands down every week, which is something...
Clement Freud, why have you challenged?
Deviation's got nothing to do with my worst moment.
Sprang from it. I can...
She's established.
She's very worked up.
Yeah. She's very emotional. If she couldn't feel it so deeply, if it wasn't her worst moment, she really feels it very deeply, and I quite agreed. Obviously, was her worst moment for quite a long time. Yeah. 4 seconds left, Geraldine, starting now.
I have no doubt at all that this moment will leave its traumatic impression upon my mind forever. Yes.
Geraldine's worst moment has taken her into a very definite second place behind Clement Freud. Clement, would you start the next round for us? And the subject is a delightful one for you, I'm sure. Omelettes. Can you talk about that for 60 seconds, starting now?
These are confections made of eggs to which other ingredients are added. And very few people know that ideally an omelette should be cooked solely by the heat of the pan and not over a flame or electric plate. What you do is get the utensil or...
Derek Nimmer, you've challenged one.
Hesitation,
that's... Another interesting thing about this game is that when they have a subject which they really know something about, it's amazing how inhibited they can be and dry up. Derek, you take over the subject of omelettes. 40 seconds left, starting now.
My favourite kind of omelette is a Spanish one, or tortilla, which you find all over the fair land of Spain. And when I go there, it's filled with lovely cold potatoes and onions and egg, of course, all round the outside. And I go up to a little local bar or hostelry and say, quiero una tortilla, por favor. And they say, oh, how nice you are. Yes, here's your old omelette. And I take it away, put it on the lovely plate. Oh, and there sorry. With wine and what?
Clement Freud, you challenge. What?
Repetition of tortilla.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely right, yes.
Yes. Oh, they're getting magnanimous now and admitting their mistakes for the first time. There was too much tortilla. There are 23 seconds left for omelettes starting now.
When the copper sauteuse has reached a sufficient...
Derek Nimmer, why have you challenged?
Well, I thought I detected a hesitation.
No, I think it was a strange word he used.
Well, I'm very sorry.
Yes, all right. Now, isn't it? Clement Freud has another point and 19 and a half seconds left for omelettes starting now. Derek Nimmer, you've challenged.
Well, he didn't do anything, did he?
And, Derek, you now have 18 seconds in which to make an omelette, starting now.
So I got hold of this frying pan and I put it on top of the fire. And, you know, I poured the eggs on top after cracking them on very hard on the side of the pan. And then I sat down on a lovely table covered with the finest...
Clement Roy, why would challenge?
Deviation, sitting on a lovely table.
I
sat down on a lovely table.
I like sitting on the table.
Clement Freud, you have another point and 5 seconds left for omelettes starting now.
Mushrooms, tomatoes, and onions are the favorite fillings, but cheese is coming up in the meat table.
At the end of that round, Clement Freud has increased his lead just a little over Geraldine Jones, and Kenneth and Derek are trailing somewhat. Mm. Kenneth, the subject is Hamlet. Can you discourse on that for 60 seconds, starting now?
This is one of Shakespeare's most brilliant morality plays, and I suppose it does provide sort of ambitious part for which any young actor could become inflamed. And it's unique insofar as the author has given quite explicit instructions for the performer. Speak the speech, I pray.
pray you, as I pronounced it to you, tripping me on the tongue, or do not mouth it, as some of your players do. I would as leave the town crier spoke my lines, nor speak no more than to sit down, for there be of some that will laugh, to sit on some barren quantity of spectators to laugh also, though in the meantime some necessary question of the play be then to be considered. That's villainous, and shows the most pitiful ambition in the fool that uses it. Pray you, avoid it.
Yes. Derek Nimmo, he said, pray you avoid it, but you didn't. You challenged. Why?
Well, repetition of ambition, actually. Ambition at the beginning, ambition for any actor, ambition at the end of the speech.
I think if you can keep going in this game with a speech of Hamlet's and at the pace that Kenneth did it, he just deserved to get
a point. Yes, but if you can lose yours, they're all around and losing theirs. He's absolutely right. He's got a valid point. He's right. The valid point. He was listening carefully. He was listening carefully, and that's how we got to play the game. That's right. No, give him his due. Give him his due.
You're being so generous now. You really want me to give it to him? I've already awarded it to you. You can take it. They want it. The audience want Kenneth to finish, don't you?
Yes.
Kenneth, you have your point. You have 17 seconds to continue with Hamlet, starting now.
And, of course, we all know it is largely around the question of doubt that the play hinges. Should I do such a thing? Or, and not to use the word should, lest I be accused.
Derek Nimmo. The repetition he did.
Oh, it's annoying.
I award a point to Derek Nimmo for his challenge. There are 3 seconds left for Hamlet. Derek, starting now.
Ham's the diminutive form of the Anglo-Saxon word ham, meaning car.
Geraldine Jones, will you take the next round, please? In fact, it's your turn to take the next round. The subject is stupidity, which is not applied to you in any way. I can't think why Ian Mester's put it on the card for you to start with, but will you try and talk about it for 60 seconds, starting now?
Unlike our respected chairman, I don't believe that I need to be stupid in order to talk about stupidity. In fact, it seems to me that the best qualified people to discuss this subject are those who are never, ever guilty of it. Of these, I am naturally one. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to speak for so many minutes without raising the smallest laugh, because everybody knows that laughs generally are generated by something somehow or other stupid. I'm getting very stony.
Kenneth Williams, why do you challenge?
What deviation? She's running herself down rotten.
Yes, but you can't just be devious because you're running yourself down. You're allowed to do that. Now, if you had said that it is devious because laughter is not always produced from something which is stupid, I think it's often produced from highly intelligent things, I would have agreed. But as you didn't, I agree with Geraldine Jones has another point, and there are 33 seconds left for stupidity, Geraldine, starting now.
The stupidity that we show in this game, of course, is a nice sort, and...
Derek, why have you challenged?
Repetition of game.
Yes, she did say a game before, because she was talking about it. Derek, there are 30 seconds for you to take over stupidity, starting now.
I think the most interesting definition of this word is contained within the book of the prophet Micah. Oh, listen, ye children of Israel. The most stupid of men are the most loved of the Lord Jehovah. And I've always found this to be a most interesting thought, because it's helped me tremendously through life, because I am blessed with stupidity. It has been my greatest natural asset. People look at me in the street, how you great coffee face.
Never in a program have I heard such bearing of souls. Geraldine going about her worst moment, Derek about his stupidity, Kenneth about his Hamlet, and Clement showing us that he cannot make an omelette without drying up. So, we've now reached the end of yet another edition of Just a Minute. And a very interesting result. Kenneth was in fourth place, just behind Geraldine, who was 1 point behind Derek Nimmo. But by a very definite lead, this week's winner, Clement Freud. We do hope you've enjoyed this particular edition of Just a Minute. And from all of us here, goodbye. The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Simon Brett.